Hi, this is Kenneth Nguyen. A few years ago, before I launched the Vietnamese podcast, my father and all of his siblings passed away. Their passing marked the loss of their stories and the connection to my grandparents and great-grandparents. This is partly what inspired me to start the work of the podcast. Many of you still have the opportunity to record and preserve the legacies of your own families. I've just begun to sit with a few families now for interview sessions to record the rich histories of their parents and the lives of the generations that preceded them. Don't let your family's stories go untold. Take a moment to reach out to me, and together we will bring out your family's story on a recorded journey. I've included the link in the episode description. Visit VietnamStoryBank.com today for more information.
I'm Peter, also known as Broke the Habit. I make content on Instagram, and you probably know me from me talking with my mom.
Welcome to The Vietnamese. I'm your host, Kenneth Nguyen. Being part of a culture of nearly 100 million Vietnamese people in the world today comes with a lot of pain, proud history, and privilege. Join me as I highlight and explore the Vietnamese experience from all over. Thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, I know it's a little early for you in Vietnam, and so I really appreciate that.
No worries, man.
So you grew up in Canada, right?
Yep, based in Vancouver, West Coast.
Were you born and raised in Canada?
Yes, sir. So I'm actually like all my roots and everything is based in Canada. Parents had me there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was it like for you and growing up in Canada?
It was tricky. Where do I even begin? I grew up very poor. Both of my parents are janitors. They didn't really speak English, typical immigrant parents. They put me through the typical public education school in Canada. And how my overall experience, I don't know, it's like the fact where it's like I couldn't really find my identity. Like back in a lot of my content where I talk about, it's like it wasn't cool to be Vietnamese. Like if you're like Vietnamese, you're known as two things. Like you're either like a drug dealer, or you did nails, or it was like. And I remember kids in high school, they're like, they'll make fun of the Vietnamese accent. So it's like, I always try to hide the fact that I'm like, yeah, I'm not actually full Vietnamese. I'm actually half Chinese. So then I kind of lean more into like that Chinese side of me, like during a lot of my like early childhood and like teenage years.
Is there Chinese lineage in you?
Yeah. So my dad is actually Nguyen Tieu or Tieu Chau. So, but he's born in Saigon. He grew up in D5 is his hood. And then, so half of my family, which I have not even like touched upon at all in terms of like my content. That's like a whole nother chapter, but like half of my, that's why I don't look like full Vietnamese. Like I walk around Saigon and people are like, they speak to me in English. They get confused. It's like, cause I have like a very Chinese Japanese as face, but yeah.
You know, there's a lot of us that grew up trying to pose that we are Japanese or Filipino or, you know, some of us Mexican, you know, so we can get away from the stigma of being Vietnamese. Yeah. It's a lot. It happens a lot. And I definitely leaned into the Chinese roots, too, when I was growing up, because it was painful. It was extremely painful. I think if you didn't grow up around Little Saigon in Orange County, you know, it was a very different world. And I think that it still exists in places like Canada or wherever you're from.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't say like I didn't have like no community. Like my mom had like her Vietnamese friends and we stayed within our little Vietnamese tight knit group. But outside of that in school, like all my, I'm looking back, like I grew up surprisingly, Vancouver is very Asian. I don't know if you've ever been, but like 50% of the demographic is Asian. A minority, and then the other 50% is white. Most of my friends looking back, they were either Chinese, Indian, and as like some Vietnamese. So I didn't grow up with the whole sense of like no Vietnamese culture, whatever. And then my home was also very like my mom purposely did not speak to us in English. I have a little brother, and from like as long as I remember, like it was just my mom. My dad wasn't so strict about it. My dad, like I can speak to with English with my dad, but my mom, no English in the house whatsoever. So kudos to her
Yeah.
is the fact that I still have like this baseline of like Vietnamese like comprehension and speaking ability.
That's dope. I mean, that requires a lot of effort and vision for your child. Yeah, because I try to do that, but it's very difficult to pull it off, you know. And what you know, I mean, you know, when you first started your page, I remember when you first came onto the scene, it was really painful for me to watch the episodes because I could relate, you know, the pain that you went through, I think, of growing up is something I think probably a lot of us gravitate towards, and we could see it. And I think that's how your page grew, you know, honestly.
Yeah, man. What wasn't shown is like before that, before I even could like press record, there were moments where it's like I think it was during lockdown and then COVID. That's when I was like, okay, move back home, and that's like, okay, I have to learn how to communicate with my parents, because before that, there was like a whole decade of me just like suppressing my emotions and like not being able to like talk to my parents properly. Because I just remember like I just had a flashback where it's like my mom would like whip out the stick and like just like whip me with it. And then instead of me like expressing how I felt or like I would go to my room and then just like lash out and then come back the next day and be like, oh, Angela, is everything fine? So it's like I learned like I didn't know how to express that. So then during the past 2, 3 years, like going through like I had to go through therapy, like learning how to like be more emotionally like there and learning how to express myself. Before that, pressing record, I would have these like breakdown moments with my mom where I'm like, I'm just crying, like why weren't you there? Like, what was this? Was so it was like a lot of like this Western mindset of me trying to like express who I was to my mom and understand like, oh, you caused me pain too. So it's like this clash. And then eventually we reached like a middle ground of like both understanding. And ever since then, like there's much more just me meeting my parents halfway and them meeting me. And after that, those little recordings, they weren't just the first time. It was like the 10th, 15th, 20th time. I'm like, okay, I can just press casually record and my parents sees my GoPro and then I'm like, we're just chilling. Because I get a lot of comments where people are like, oh my God, how did you do that? I want to do that. I'm like, it took 3, 4, 5 years of me like talking to my parents on a daily basis. Sometimes it wouldn't work. Sometimes they wouldn't meet me and they're like, I just like break down and I'm like, okay. So it took a lot of effort on my end.
This episode is brought to you by Red Boat Fish Sauce. I love cooking with Red Boat because it's made with only two ingredients, wild-caught anchovies and sea salt. This premium fish sauce is made in Phu Quoc, Vietnam and bottled right here in California. You can find Red Boat at select Asian supermarkets like 99 Ranch, H Mart, and Tong Phat. Peter, I got so many damn questions. I mean, I was really looking forward to this interview so much because you're doing something, and I'm not even talking about the content creation side. I'm talking about the pure courage to confront your mom and dad. And I think that it's a hard thing to do in our community to like confront these people who are goddamn clueless sometimes, most times. They're just clueless, have no idea that there is another universe that exists outside of their communication line. Now, with all that being said, though, what do you think what made you think that you could break free from that barrier?
From the bear, from their mindset, their type of like thinking and how like
Yeah,
I was different.
thinking that it's a possibility that you're going to break through to them.
I think I was always born as a rebel. I don't know what, because I think my mom hit me more than my brother. So I was always like the super rebellious kid, man. And my parents are like, ever since I grew up Catholic as well. Parents su my mom very, very Catholic. Everything was so like I was like in a pressure cooker where it's like they had to go through baptism, communion, going like the whole nine yards of being like Catholic, and it's like everything's controlled, like from the way I dressed to my hair to like I had to be home at a certain time. And I don't know, like going through puberty and like having that teenage angst, I was just like, I just was always a fighter. Like I'm still a very emotional person, but I think I've put in a lot of work where it's like, I don't know, I just have this like this little fight in me that like would not like dwindle. And I think I equate some of that to like Western culture of like individualism, where it's like having that fight of like to just do what I want to do, right? And it started very small, like in high school, where it's like, hey, I would get my first piercing, and then my mom would be like disapproving of that, and it just starts building up to where it's like I build that muscle of like I'm gonna do something for me, even though it kind of makes you like you don't approve of that. But I'm very aware that that still lies in my unconsciousness sometimes, or even in my consciousness as an adult, how like I look for that. And like even for me going to Vietnam now, like I live in Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, and it's like it took me 6 years to do what I want to do. I had this vision of just like
Wow.
being in Vietnam, being happy, and it's like it took me so much fear, because I remember 2018 was the first time I was working in a corporate job, 9 to 5, and I'm like, the company gave me like 1 month, no, 2 weeks, but I negotiated to like half pay, half not pay, to like 1 month vacation. I'm like, I'm gonna go to Vietnam. And 2018 was the first time where I told my parents, and they were just like berated, like, what are you doing? So I remember me even booking my flight to go to Vietnam. I was shaking, because not the fact that it's like I didn't believe in Trump, I was scared of their what we're gonna say and whether or not they're gonna approve of me. And that kind of like lingers on, like even today, and like things like I don't trust myself, which I'm like learning how to do.
It's an incredible journey, man. You know, just
Yeah.
to hear it, for all of us, who are so scared to take the first step, of our career or our lives, and we want to make changes. And I cannot believe it took you 6 years to hit the record button and upload content. And can you walk me through that process?
Sure, man.
And
So
before you
6 years,
start, I just want everybody who's listening to know that Peter has a channel on Instagram called Break the Habit, Broke the
broke the
Habit,
habit.
Broke the Habit. And if you go back to the earlier posts, you could see the growth of where Peter is today. And I'd wanted to reach out from the beginning, and I just wanted to see where you would take this, and build it and the journey. And now I get to hear where it started. So I just want the audience to know that
Gotcha.
they have to check into this, your Instagram channel. It's mind-blowing. For all of you who
Yes.
are wondering about changing careers, changing course in your life, check out Peter's Instagram post.
So yeah, man. So 6 years Vietnam, but most people don't know this, but I've been creating content. I've been trying to be an influencer for like 10 years. People don't realize that. So 2014, 2015, I went to university in Canada, Simon Fraser University. I studied criminology. I'm like, what am I doing? And this came from like the pressure of my parents kind of be like, you should go to university. But even that, I think 18, 19, I had this dream of like, I want to take a gap year and go to Vietnam. But I put that on the back burner. And when I was 18, 19, I'm like, YouTube, I've always wanted to do YouTube. And like I remember like 14, even 15, this goes even back, man. Oh my God. Now I'm thinking about it. Like 14, 15, just make silly like lip syncing videos or like just talking to other people. And it was the first time where it's like YouTube was my, I felt connected, where it's like I turn on the camera and I'd see other Asian people on any sort of media. Because back in the day, like most people watching the Gen Zs, they don't really know what it was like before Asians weren't on anywhere. It
Yeah,
was like you turn the
couldn't
TV, it's all white
find anybody.
people. And yeah, it's nothing. And I remember I was like, oh my God, Bobby Lee. So like you got Jackie Chan. So then the first time was like you have these like big like YouTubers that were also Asian. I'm like, wow, I want to do what they do. I want to talk to other people, because I knew I had some sort of story. I knew it was kind of awkward. I was different. So then fast forward, Last semester of university, I started just to create these little YouTube videos, and it was just like following a trend. It was like how to cut your hair 101, or like how to not be shy anymore, or how to like. So I created videos way back then, and I didn't know what I was really doing back then. But looking in hindsight, I was learning the skill of content creation. I was learning how to produce. I was learning how to like be an overall content creator. So last semester, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I want to go pursue my master's, because back then you get a Bachelor of Arts, like what do you really do? There isn't really any job prospects. So back then I was like, okay, a couple of YouTube videos. I made my first $5 online. I'm like, wow, this is amazing, remote income. But then it wasn't like a full-time thing. And then my parents are kind of like constantly pressuring me and being like, what are you gonna do now? You finished your criminology de degree, like what's next for you? I'm like, I don't know, I have all the student loans now. So I decided to be a cook, a line cook, because that was the job that I had during university. So I was working a part-time line cook, and then I was part-time making YouTube videos, 2014, 2015, 2016. And as I was building up the skill of video editing, I eventually worked for this catering company as a dishwasher. And they were looking for a video. They're doing like this rebrand. And I'm like, hey, I do YouTube videos. And they're like, really, Peter? You bring your camera and shoot something for us and then get back to me. So like I'm like, I bring my camera during my dishwashing shift. I film some things, I put together, and he's like, wow, Peter, this is great. I'm gonna hire you for one video. It was like $500. And I'm like, bro, that's more than I make an entire shift. I'm like, there's something here. And he eventually became like my first mentor in terms of me jumping into freelance video and videography. And from there, I eventually worked for other digital marketing agencies and became a full-time video editor, videographer, just from me chasing this thing of like making YouTube videos. But on the back of my mind, I was like, I want to do this for me. I want to like put out my story. Maybe it's a bit of ego, maybe it's like rah rah, look at me. But it was a bit of like, why can't I do this for me? Because like when I was posting my YouTube videos, I was like, got 10,000 views, but there wasn't that sense of like traction. Why can't I build an audience? So I'm like, maybe I don't really bet on myself. And then I kind of went from like corporate job. I'm like, okay, this corporate job pays me super base salary, 30K, which is like nothing now looking back in hindsight. I'm like, I just want the experience. But at the same time, it was like my parents' pressure of like, you should get Gambia, you need something more stable. So I'm like, huh, stable. I'm like, if I get an office job and it's sort of related to my like career and passion, then it'll sort of work, right? So then from there, I jumped to like working for another influencer full time. I'm like, I was able to like double my salary because she offered me double. I'm like, cool, great. But then I eventually got laid off because of COVID. And then I ended up looking for another job. And I'm like, I went to find another huge company, corporate company, and they paid me triple plus stocks. And I'm like, okay, now I'm looking like big boy money. So you take consider stocks, you're looking like 160, 180. If the stocks ever go. So you're looking at 200 grand salary combined with everything. But then the more I was chasing this money, everyone on the outside was like, wow, Peter, you have it all together. You got a car, you're renting out a place, you're looking for your next home. I just felt like so dead inside. As I was having all this kind of like corporate rat race type of thing, I was still making YouTube videos. I was still posting one in there. And as I was like trying to figure out, like, there's something there. Like, I need to like create YouTube videos that like inspired me. I'm gonna keep trying. I don't know what it is, but I'm just gonna keep trying. I never gave up 10 years. I was about to. And then going into like the second year of working at this super, I would say pretty big company, I get laid off in a very, very disastrous way. And I had to move back in with my parents. And then during that year, where I'm like, thank God, Canada, we have employment insurance as well. I'm sure there is in the US. I'm like, 1 year to chill. I'm like, man, what is it that I want and need to do? And I reached such a point, low point in my life where I was like, man, I don't know about this content thing, but I do know, like, if I were to go on go, I need to cross this off. It's been bugging me for the longest time, for like years. I need to go to Vietnam, man. I'm gonna figure out a way.
And you hadn't
I
gone
just,
before?
I've gone for like 2 weeks, 1 month, but I've never like lived in Vietnam.
And what
So I'm
year was
like,
this?
when I visited, or
No,
in terms
when
of
you
like,
decided to take the jump.
exactly 1 year ago, 1 year ago. So it took me a whole year to plan, and I'm like, what is it I want to do? I'm like, I want to go to Vietnam and be a YouTuber. Like I'm here at like no one knows my age. There's like I'm 32 this year. There's a running joke I'm 42, but I'm not. And I was like, I'm only getting older, and like, what is it I really want to do, man? Like, I don't care if it doesn't work out. I'm just gonna go to Vietnam. And then from there, I started exactly 1 month, 1 month before I'm about to fly and go to Vietnam. I know that from my 10 years of YouTube, I have this whole like archive of like, what is my shtick? What will people watch? What would people actually like? And I'm like, I remember when I speak Vietnamese, they find it cute. So then I was like, okay, let me put my little GoPro. I'm gonna put it on the side. I'm gonna order some pho at a restaurant. And that I got my first 10,000 hits on TikTok. And I'm like, okay. Because I usually my videos would get only like a couple hundred. I'm like, okay, there's something here. Maybe I should lean into this. And I did a couple more of those where I'm just like, because of my VQ accent, a lot of people call it la la. I don't know what that direct translate is, like clumsy. And then it got the next one, I'm like 100,000. I'm like, whoa. The next one got 300,000. I'm like, okay, there's something going on here with TikTok, just with TikTok. So I just kind of tripled down because like me working from like a digital marketing agency, I understand content marketing. I'm like, I'm just gonna put this through my typical content cycle that I do with my clients and my work. And then I just did that like clockwork. Five restaurants, all types of content. You're looking at like within 2 weeks, I hit like 500,000, 600,000 views, right? And I'm like, what is going on? But at the same time, I didn't have like a IG presence. I didn't have confidence on Instagram. But then I notice a page take one of my videos and then reshare it. And I'm like, I thought like my Instagram was broken. Like back then, like exactly 6 months ago, I only had like 900 followers, bro. So then I was like, I messaged this page. I'm like, hey, some of my content on TikTok is like blowing up like crazy. I think it might benefit you if you can like reshare. I'd really appreciate it. The page ghosted me. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna do it for me. I'm just gonna post my 12 videos of archives I have on TikTok onto Instagram. And that's when my content went from like this to like 2 million within like a month. And I feel like that's when all of Vietnam saw my face. And there was this specific content of just me plopping down and sitting with my mom. And these conversations I would have with my mom, it's not the first time. It's like the 100th time, like I've said. But for most people, like, wow, it was so new. It was so raw. It was so different. And from there, with the collateral of like me uploading my archive of TikTok onto IG, and then me, I'm like, oh, people like me talking and like thumbs so talking deep with my mom. I'm like, you know what? Triple down on this too. And it's like, it all happened. I don't know, the universe. I'm like, I don't know. Manifestation is a little bit of a tricky word for some people, but like the moment where I finally stopped like chasing money and like the world just went like, shh, Peter, I'm gonna help you now. I don't know if there's like a higher power, but like everything just like working out now. And it's like I remember like 5, 6 years, like I'm gonna like meet this person. I'm gonna talk to this. I'm gonna create this community. I'm gonna talk to people and like everything in Vietnamese content. And it's like it's crazy because it's all happening now. It still feels like a dream as I'm only in month three here. But yeah, that is a little the start of like this crazy content grind and journey I've been on.
No, and you know, the crazy thing is, I was there from day one. I got to see it from day one. I got fed in the algorithm. because I subscribed to all the Vietnamese content and I got to see it. I got to see the progression. And it was painful, like I said in the earlier, like the earliest episodes were just really painful because I could feel the struggle that you had with your mom and the culture. And I think a lot of us have been there before. I think that's what we can relate to your content.
Yeah, like I even noticed, like as I'm recording and I'm like editing back, like it's very, even for me, like communication and language is so important, because we can, especially with my parents, we can go like that. I'm like, I'm trying to say one thing and they're trying to say another, and it's like we don't really understand or get each other.
We don't think about this when we're consuming content, but a lot of the people who make successful content, I've noticed that a lot of them have been in the game for like 8 years, 9 years, and then something clicks and then it takes off. And it's like all of those years of grinding and like no, not being heard and working on your craft. And I've heard this so many times. On year 10, I was going to give up. And then I did this one thing and it blew up. And then I doubled down on it and it blew up. And then I just kept going. And then that was like the path. I've heard it happening to so many content creators now that, it's like if anybody's listening to this and is a content creator, you almost got to give it 10 years. You got to put in your 10,000 hours, right?
I was close to like 50,000. I'm like, bro, I'm like
It's insane. It's really something when you think about it. For all of the people who've been at this for 3 or 4 years, it's like that's like a drop in the bucket for a lot of you guys. 10 years is, I know Linda Dong had a, kind of like a 10 year, a decade in, and then she blew up. And
from the same city. Like she was one of my, when I first started, we were like this. And like we were like mutual friends. I was like, and then all of a sudden I'm like, there's a lot of this like envy. I'm like, why can't I do that? For like for me for 10 years, I'm like, if someone from my same city, I'm like, what's going on here? And then it was like as I was going through, I'm like, wow, it's a lot of insecurity. I'm a lot of me like looking out. But as I was like making content looking in, that's when I'm like, okay, I found my own lane. Like I don't need to like look out all the time.
Interesting. Interesting. Stephen Ho, too. 10 years. He went the acting route. Now he's a huge touring comedian. Both of them had the 10-year sort of, they hit that tipping point at the 10th year mark and boom, just, and I'm watching you do it. And I think that what you just said about looking in is counterintuitive, right? Because we're looking out all the time. We're seeing all this shit on, other people's pages. And we're like, God, I want to be doing that. That looks cool. That, they figured it out. I want to replicate that. But I think it's ultimately our own authenticity that other people want to tune into. It's not us copying another style or another content. It's really what who we naturally are. And I struggle with that. To be honest with you, I want to like turn the camera on all the time. And I've talked about it with so many of my, content creator friends. And they're like, yeah, it's one of the hardest things to do is to flip the camera on and just talk to the camera. It's a hard thing to do.
For me, it's the opposite, because it's like I feel like I'm like too authentic, where it's like as I'm documenting, there's a lot of people trying to like, as I'm like trying to adjust, because like it's a whole nother thing now, because like okay, I have the eyeballs now, it's like I walk around and I get noticed. So it's like I went from like wanting the attention to getting the attention. So now it's like a whole nother world of like, okay, people are gonna criticize me this and there. So it's like, yeah, when you only have 1,000 followers, you get like a couple comments here and there. Now it's like I'm recording my mom, recording my life. Now I have like thousands. So it's like a lot of growing, just even from like the content growth maturity of like learning how to deal with criticism. That is like a whole other thing I'm trying to like adapt to.
How is your relationship with your mom and dad now?
It's funny because I actually FaceTimed them the other day while I'm eating some like fried chicken, and like they're like chilling on the couch. It's like I'm sure other Vidcues can relate to this, but I feel closer. Even though I'm like physically farther, I feel closer, and I feel like there's a little bit of more like respect, where it's like, oh, Peter went out and he's doing okay. He's not dead.
Yeah, I think that's what they
I'm
want,
able
right?
to,
They just they want us to kind of, flap our wings and fly. And if we can fly, then they're happy. It's never a case where like you're doing well. I mean, it's hardly the case where you're doing well and they're just like dismissive, or I mean they are. A lot of them are dismissive, but they're calling their buddies or their friends and they're showing you off, right?
Yeah, but it's like it's funny because like my mom was so against it, and it was like if I listened to my mom, this I would not be talking to you. Like this content, I would be working like another 9 to 5. Who knows? I'll be 40, and I'm like even more depressed. And I'm like I'm very, for once, it's like I bet on myself, and I'm like I'm so glad I did.
I hope that motivates what motivates me. I hope it motivates, whoever's listening to this, 'cause damn, I saw where you started, and I was just like, this is gonna be interesting. Like in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking like, okay, anybody who gets started in this is going to crap out because it's like a marathon, right? It's not like a sprint at all. And I hate that analogy, because it's so simplistic. But the reality is, like, when I look at somebody, I'm like, okay, how long does this guy have in the tank? But if you're looking at somebody and you don't know that they've got that 10-year history behind them, and they've been curling and they've been like going to the gym, they've been conditioning, they're gonna take this to another level. And that's what we're witnessing today. It's this authenticity, this practiced authenticity of and editing and videoing. It's all coming together.
100%. It's I'm not gonna lie, it's like there are times where I'm like I'm burnt out and I'm like I gotta just chill, but it's like I'm not like creating like completely new. A lot of it is just like me talking about my life, talking about my struggles, and that's all it is. And I'm like inspiring other people who are depressed, who live the lifestyle that I lived, like the 9 to 5, listen to the parents, and they're like the whole two dichotomy of like, how do I actually like do what I want to do against what my parents' disapproval? Like, how do I do that? And I feel like that's what my content, it's like it's hitting with a lot of people.
Yeah, because I think that's like the new generation of human beings where we don't want to be confined anymore. I listen to a lot of content creators who are in the mainstream, and what they talk about is the new economy, right? It's the new economy where, but that transition over into the new economy, it's either you're going to do it or you're going to continue the traditional route of living and climbing in corporate structures. This is a whole different ball game where you're creating a space that really never existed for yourself. And I'm floating in that uncharted territory daily. I'm trying to figure out what to do. The only thing I know that's the constant or consistent for me is that if I sit with a guest, I'm in a happy place. If I can sit for the next 25 years of my life, talking to guys like you, women like the kick-ass women that are doing things out there, wonderful young people like yourself that are like doing courageous things, I'm in good shape, And then I don't know, monetizing and all of that is a tricky thing for the new economy.
Like I've been aware of this because like I used to watch YouTube, like other creators
Yeah.
who are like really business people, and they're like, with the power of the internet, there's literally people, is that like anime behind you? There's like probably a YouTube channel, like multiple YouTube channels who just review anime on YouTube, and they're making like 5 figures, I guarantee it, just talking about what they love. And I feel like that perspective, it's like, oh, that's not a real job. I'm like, that is a business. There's someone talking about like plants. You go on YouTube, there's people that are doing that full time. And it's so, like you said, uncharted territory where it's like, if something is so new, people don't really respect it. People don't really like see it like, oh, cool, I'll stick with my like 6-figure accounting job. But like, that's cute. Let's see how long you will last for. So it's like, there's always that, the transition of being
Yep.
like, we living in a world where it's like, it's crazy. Like I've taught even my own creator friends that I've met in Saigon, like everyone's doing their own thing. Like some people are just making YouTube videos and they're like monetizing off AdSense. Some people are selling courses. And like everyone just is just trying to figure out their own path.
It's cool to see. Yeah. I mean, I hung out with you guys last month and it was just such a beautiful experience to randomly, get that call and come out and join you guys. It was such a beautiful moment for me and the guys that I brought out with the, with us all to sit there. Has life gotten better for you in terms of mental health?
Yeah, so I'm pretty open about it. Like I've struggled with mental health since I was like 15, and like I've gone through the traditional route of going to through therapy and doctors, and I feel like I still have like my bouts of like despair, but it's gotten a lot better. And I'm not saying this just because I'm getting recorded. It's like you can see in the content, like I'm laughing, I'm like singing to Usher, like I'm just chilling, bro. And it's like I haven't been this happy in a while. And it, I think the pressure of being in the Western world of like, I grew up in Vancouver, super expensive cost of living. And there's this constant, like, I gotta
Pressure.
make ends meet. I like, I never had time to just like, with the privilege of having like a Canadian passport, I'm like, I can just like chill right now and just like figure out like, how do I actually live life and be happy and use that as like a foundation. And then I just talked to my friend Dao the other day, who also like did the whole same thing and move out here. It was like coming to Vietnam was like a hard reset for me as well, where it's like I saved up a little bit of cash and I'm like, I can just breathe right now for once in my life. Where it's like from the minute I was like 14 years old, like I had a part-time job, and then all the way up until like now, corporate jobs, part-time jobs, free, like constantly worrying about work. Where for now I'm like, I can just sort of chill and then just like live and actually enjoy life. And I feel like I felt guilty because my parents are still like working janitors and they're like pretty old and they're still not retired. So it's like I never learned how to just enjoy life. And as I'm learning to just like enjoy and be happy, and I'm starting to create a business around that, I feel like not only am I'm benefiting the most because of mental health. The people around me, who like my family and friends, they can also feel that. And I feel like because of that, like my mental health has gotten a lot better. And even I get thousands of DMs. I'm an introvert. I cannot reply to every single one. But there was one where it's like, Peter, I've been following you since like March as well. And then it was like, I'm going through your feed, I'm like, wow, you're struggling here, you look depressed here, but your recent videos, I can see there's like a weight lifted. I'm like, yeah, that's not like, it's not scripted. I'm just being me on camera, and people can see. I'm like, wow, he's starting to look a lot more mentally healthier.
It makes you think about, it makes me think about what the paradigm of our parents from the East, from a very difficult culture, transplanting themselves in the West. They're fine. Because, it's not grinding on them. They're used to it. I mean, you could say that. You can assume that they're used to it. But then when they start putting that pressure on us to perform a certain way, that's when it gets a little bit tough. And I think it's different. People are like, the Gen Z millennials, what's up with them? They got it easy and why they are. No, I think it's all relative, right? I think it's all like where you have to think about the context of where civilization and humanity is at that point. And I think when we think about like your parents putting their sort of pressure on you and what you've probably gone through with the beatings and all of that abuse from a culture that they are like, wait, this is normal where we come from, and having to go through it from a Western filter. And then now you get to go back to Vietnam in a relatively privileged way. You have a Canadian passport. You get to relive and reset. But that all being said, I want to ask you, do you think that you are living a privileged life because you have a Canadian passport? But do you think that this is a debate that I've had with other people recently? When we go to Vietnam, we enjoy it. We experience it. I have a blue passport too, a US passport. You have a Canadian passport. We go back, we enjoy this privilege. And but I want to make an argument, because when I'm in Hanoi, I see people running around the lake, and it looks like they're having a wonderful time. In the evening, it's like families are out. There's thousands of people out in the square, and they're just having a great time. They're living life. Do you think that they're actually happy? I mean, that's a weird question, but from your point of view, does this seem like people in Vietnam, where you live, are generally happier than where you come from? And it's a very personal sort of observation question, but, or do you think they're cold? And do you think they're living a life that's full of struggle?
I think it's both. Because I still have family here. I have an aunt that lives in Tân Binh, and for the first 2 weeks I stayed with her and I saw how cold and nghèo she was, where it's like a little plastic door to like the for the washroom, and then the toilet didn't have a flush. It
You
has like a little
videoed
scooper.
all of that, didn't you?
Yes. I live there. I'm like every day, like she would tell me like, "Cháu ơi, bác có thể đi nước ngoài, bác không có thể quay lại đâu." Every day she would tell me this. So it's like that sort of like struggle. Like I understand, like, wow, I'm very privileged, because like I can see it both sides, where she thinks going to like Canada, US, wherever, like that is like heaven. Where for me, it's like I have the privilege of like, I do have that, like, wow, I can see how much you struggle. And I can only imagine, because I lived with her for 2 weeks, and that was like, I don't know how I can live for like 30 years like this. Like I would not know. But I've also met people where like there's random banh mi ladies or like this who look very fine. They don't have that constant like, oh, I am like so miserable and down all the time. So I think it's a bit of both. Like some of it is like coming from the war and like people who have to go through and have that imprinted on them of like struggle, and then they only know what they know. And it's like they don't know that they can like grow and build. It's and a lot of it's like mindset. And to answer your question, people's I think it's both. Like you there's a lot of people who don't really think about it, but there's a lot of people who I get talked to a lot, right? Because I am Việt Kiều, and they know that, oh, I have a quốc tịch, I have a privilege of being Canadian. And every time I remember going to the hospital here just to get a health check, and the doctor's like, "Oh, why would you leave the beautiful country of Canada to live in Vietnam?" And this is coming from a doctor. I'm like, because I want to. And they couldn't wrap their head around. They're like, "No, I came, and I'm like, I want to live in Vietnam." I think it's same with my aunt as well. Like, she doesn't understand why I want to come here. So there is there's that sense of like privilege that I do feel. And like there is also that economic like privilege, right? Where like we can talk about like passport bros, or like we have our wealth, we come here, the dollar stretches longer, right? So we will never, unless you work here and you like make the average salary here, you will never experience the real
Yeah,
Vietnam.
for sure. For sure. And I think that it's a very simplistic question, but I think I was just kind of meandering into the realm of, trying to compare apples to apple, where you get a poor person in Canada, a poor person US, their misery is probably the same as, I was having this debate the other day with somebody. I wonder if the poor rural person in Vietnam, living out in the sticks, are they happier, than what's going on here, and I think sometimes knowing a lot of things, like they say, ignorance is bliss. We're not really aware of all of the political nastiness that's happening in America, and all the racism and all the shit that we kind of deal with on a mental level. And yeah, we have better lifestyles here in the West, but at the same time, sometimes I fantasize. I'm like, I don't know, simple life in on the countryside in Long Cotton, or Đồng Nai, and all these places. outside of in Haiphong. I was out there last month and it was just like so peaceful. And I know the whole country, we can't generalize and say, yeah, everybody's living a comfortable life because they're clearly not. But at the same time, I really wonder what that, that happiness factor is for people that are living like us who go to Vietnam and dip their toes in that life.
I just want to touch a point, like, because like I think as you're comparing more to like the Mingdae or country, because like right now my POV, I've only been 3 months in Saigon. I have yet to travel out into like the countryside where the place, and that's next for my content. I definitely want to travel and get different, because right now it's all the hustle bustle of Saigon and like city life and like that. So that's that right now is my POV.
Oh, cool. Get it. I get it. All over Vietnam, it's different. It's like, the South is like a different country than the North almost to me. Like when you get down to like the details of things, from the language to the food to the way people carry themselves, the way they sit and have coffee or tea or hop talk lao, they're different. It's like a different country. It's really bizarre when you
I
head up
need to
north.
go.
Have you been up to
No,
them?
I have not. I've not.
It's really interesting. And is your mom and dad from the south or the north?
My mom is Bắc Nam Từ.
Okay.
My dad is from the south, from what
But
I remember.
your mom was born in the south, right?
No, she's born in the north. And then I think it was only like 6 months, 8 months, baby, during that time they went down. And then she grew up in the south.
Oh,
But
your
all of my
parents.
aunts, all my aunts from my mom's side, they all have this Bắc Nam Từ like accent, and I didn't know realize that until like I posted on Instagram. It's like, wait, your mom is sounds like a northerner, and she's like Bắc Nam. I'm like, how do people know? Because this whole time I thought my mom like speaks like a southern person.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, isn't it? It's a million of them went down south, and they some of them in certain areas like Binhua retain their northern kind of like the neighborhoods are northern. They act like northerners, but they're clearly in the south, but they still speak with a northern accent. It's the most bizarre thing, and I think that that's what makes Vietnam so interesting. Is
Like
this.
just even on that, there's like so much more. Like there's so much. I'm sure you know way much more, but I'm like, I'm only getting to like the tip of the iceberg in terms of like understanding, like actually being in my like mom's hood and like trying to really empathize with them a lot more. And like being here, it's like I feel like just the way the culture is here, I'm almost that all that angst and anger that I had with my parents back when I grew up in Vancouver, it's almost like dissipated because like
Wow.
I get it now. I get why you think that way.
That's pretty profound, man. How long do you think you're staying going to be staying in Vietnam?
You gotta watch and find out. But I booked for a year. That's why I promised my mom. But these I'm going in 4 months. It goes by quick, and
It
I'm
goes by
like.
quick. I don't even know how you're going to go home. If I was you, if I didn't have kids and family and I would my brother picked up 20 years ago and I look at him every day and I'm like, I regret not hopping on that trip with him and just staying. And I got to Vietnam before he did. I always wanted to live in Vietnam before any of my friends ever got to Vietnam. I got to Vietnam before a lot of my friends did. And it's just good Ying, right? It's just that thing about like fate and destiny, and like, why was I kept back here? It's strange, but maybe the work that I do is now appropriate that I stay. And that's my only kind of like, when I think about my life, I'm like, that's the only kind of like redeeming grace about like, accepting having to not go on that adventure with my brother for the last 20 years. And a lot of my friends did leave and are living in Vietnam as well today. But maybe that's just the fate. The destiny of you can't really control that kind of stuff.
But did you do have like long stints here though before?
My longest stint was maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I've never stayed for a long stint like you, you know. But I'd go back once, twice a year. One time I went back four times a year. So, and I've been doing that for longer than my brother. I've been maybe 20 something years now, but I would have done anything to live there, but it's too late for me now. I have children and, you know, I don't want to ever leave my kids. And, you know, unless they're like, they turn 18 and, you know, it's time for me to, you know, they're like, oh, just go do your thing. Then maybe, but that would even still be hard for me.
Yeah, because like I'm even like I used to dream about this, and sometimes it still feels so real. Like I'm doing it. Like I wake up, I take my bike, and I'm like, I go get some kum tam, and like I just sit in the stall with the cafe with the mai chow. I'm like, bro, I'm like, I used to dream about this. This is not a vacation. Like I wake up and like this is my everyday now. And still, I still hasn't like I haven't grasped a hold of it. Like this is, it still feels so surreal.
What would it take to stay there?
I think what is like, there is a part of like my parents being like, okay, Peter's good, right? And they have to, because my parents are old. They both turned 70 this year.
Yeah, they're right? Up there.
They had me really late.
Really late.
So I'm like, I'm constantly worrying. Like, even though, yes, I am here now, I'm doing this for me. Like, there's still a part of my brain where it's like, I still have this very, it's called, like filial piety, right, Hugh? It's like, I want to take care of them. I want to make sure they're good. So like, I may need to go back and forth, but I don't know. Maybe like having solid anchor here. Maybe, because even with my content, like I don't need to be in Vietnam, right? It's just me talking Vietnamese and like documenting my journey. So right now it's like, I want to try to get the most out of it, whether that means, you know, me traveling to year two and seeing like, see more opportunities. But right now it's like, I don't know, to be honest.
Where did you get the name Broke the Habit?
I had a little rebrand back in the day where it was like BTH Peter, but I brought it back to Broke the Habit, which is the original handle. So if you go on a shameless plug, youtube.com/Broke the Habit, it's still my name. And it came from 14, 15-year-old Peter, not feeling so... I felt like an outsider a lot of my life, and like I couldn't fit in. I was like weird. And I found this band called Linkin Park, and they have a song called Breaking the Habit. So I just flipped that. I'm like, cool. This is like my little handle or username.
But, you know, after talking to you for the last hour, it is very fitting, because for me, I don't know, it's the way I see you and the way that these words have been ingrained in your journey is, you were a rebel and you're breaking the habit that you were, you know, whatever the trauma is, whatever the lifestyle that you lived, you're doing something to really inspire the rest of us to grow.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think that that's like the journey of the human being, right? It's to grow spiritually. And, you know, I don't mean that in a religious context or anything like that. I just mean on a spiritual level where we can't see, you know, our who our person is, something deeper. We're just trying to kind of refine that year in and year out, trying to get better. And then I think we pass on and move to the next life. And, you know, if we fail at that, then it's almost like, you know, being in a cubicle 9 to 5 for the rest of your life. And you're not breaking any habits. You're just kind of doing that, amassing, making money and squirreling all that cash away and not living life.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of, I think I had like growing up, because when I was like 13, 14, now I'm looking back, it was a lot of like victim mindset where it's like, I remember growing up below poverty and I'm like, I'm looking at all my friends. I'm like, oh, the parents just bought them a car. Oh, the parents are helping them with like their college degree. I'm like, I have my two parents who are working full-time janitors just trying to make ends meet. I'm like, but as that, when I was 12, 13-year-old spoiled kid, I'm like, why are we so poor? And then I was like, why can't I do what other kids do? Like go out and have fun. Because I remember doing Christmas, birthdays. I didn't have like a huge family presence during a lot of my adolescence, childhood. And I feel like that kind of lingers with me in terms of like my mental health, where like I have this like loneliness feeling. So it's like, constantly broke the habit means like, no matter how poor I was, no matter what mental health struggles I go through, no matter what was given to me, like I was just gonna take accountability. I think that's what all it is, and be like, here's what I can do and here's what I aspire to do, And if it can inspire you, I did my job. And I think I had that message when I was like 15, 16, when I created the whole premise of Broke the Habit. And here I am today.
You're doing it. You are doing it, man. What are some of the major things that you've learned about yourself on this journey?
Ooh. You're talking about like just the 4 months I've been here or
Yep,
like the whole.
four months
Okay.
that you've been here.
Okay, so 4 months I've been here, I didn't realize how like growing up in Canada, I always held this like I had this identity. I had like things happen to me, and like anybody else, you have heartbreaks, you have like bad business decisions, bad life decisions. But I didn't realize how much that weighed on me until I went into Vietnam. I'm like, because being in a completely new environment, people are always like, oh, if you go somewhere else, you're just escaping yourself. But for me, going to Vietnam the first 3 months, like I had to face myself. I'm like, wow, all these stories and who I carried for myself in Vancouver, walking around the streets, like no one knows who the hell I am, but I have this like anger of like this happened to me or this happened to me. And I'm like, I had to really reflect and be like, who is it am I? So like who am I really? And like Vietnam is giving me the opportunity to like actually separate myself from like the things that have happened to me in Vancouver. I'm like, those aren't really me. Like those are like a byproduct of just like negative situations and how I can like deal with them and like reframe them for me. But it had nothing to do with who I was. So Vietnam has changed me in the way where it's like I'm almost getting to like Tetris my brain again. And it's
Wow.
like so new because in Vancouver, I thought like this is me being super normal. Like I thought there was something wrong with me where it's like I couldn't really like make friends. I couldn't really like I did have friends, but like they didn't treat me well. And because of that, I'm like, is there something wrong with me? Like I would gaslight myself. But then coming here, like I have people wanting to meet me for. I'm like, of course, because now I'm bigger, people want to reach out and connect. But it's like people want to like meet me, and I'm like, all these things that I'm telling myself back home when I was in Vancouver, the world is showing me a completely different hand. So me being able to be like, this whole time I have this negative ego, the sense of like these stories that I'm telling my head. I'm like. It changed me in the way I was like, wow, Peter, I've been really hard on myself for these past decade. And it's like finally a time where I'm like, wow, I finally get to like love myself and all this like a lot of self, not self-help, but like inner growth that I've been going on. Like the first month I was here, like this whole journey. I remember I was like on the back of the Grab. I'm like, bro, I'm getting a little emotional. I'm like, I'm on the back of the Grab, like, I did it, bro. And I was like, just one tear. I'm like, oh damn, like your boy is finally doing the life that he wanted to do.
Yeah, it's so inspiring to hear. Really, it
Yeah.
truly is inspiring. And to know that, you're there, you finally arrived. I mean, it's like the rest of it right now is bonus points, right?
100%, 100%.
And what does it mean now to be Vietnamese to you?
I feel like I still think there's, I'm still, can I leave that a dot, dot, dot?
Yeah, absolutely. That
I feel like there's
whatever
so much
whatever you
more for me
answer,
to,
whatever you
there's so much
answer, it's fair
more,
game.
I feel like there's so much more for me to experience because being Vietnamese is, because there's like, there's, I think I'll leave that to be continued now. And I'm definitely going to put that as a plug to for my a piece of content.
Yeah, well, let's get together in a few more months. I want to hear, maybe 6 months from now, towards the end of the year, we can get back on and talk about, what new developments you have, because I am very interested in your journey.
For sure, man. For sure.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. I really appreciate all the coordinating and you being patient with me, and it really means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Crystal Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.